felt a breakthrough in the house today. What about you? You know, I ask God for visions. I ask God for things to see because it helps me, right? When I read, I'd rather read a picture book than I'd rather read one with words. So God, give me a picture. Give me a picture I can follow. And while we were worshiping, I saw a crack, right? Kind of like in our ceiling. And Jay Enyart didn't do that one. Okay. That's for you, brother. Amen. I saw a crack in the ceiling, a spiritual crack. For the last couple weeks, I've felt like there was maybe like this iron roof, and we just not, things aren't breaking through, and there was a crack, and the crack was exposed, and I felt like it was broken open, and we were able access to heaven in our worship. And I know we've been contending. I know some of our leadership has been contending. We know that there's seasons, right? And it's okay. Like last week was a moment that we were having a season or a time that we were pushing through the battle. We were fighting. We were grinding, right? We were trying to get through. And that's because people come with heavy hearts. They come with things upon their mind, and they're preoccupied, right? You're called to occupy, but you're preoccupied to occupy. Okay? And so God wants you to do things in your life, but you got to come to Him and bring it to Him honestly and earnestly. A lot of times we give God some, but we don't give Him all. And it's a hard thing to do, but I believe as more and more that you give to God, more and more God is going to fill you and purify you. He's going to change His church in a mighty way. We can't have church like we had church before. We can't do the things that we've done before and expect different results. I don't know about you, but things and evil and the world, it's excelling and getting closer to the end of the time, right? And so with that, we need the church to excel and go deeper and go stronger so we can battle. This is spiritual warfare, and we expect ourselves just to fight with the same dagger when God's calling you to have double swords. But you're just fighting with a dagger, and you're coming after an enemy that's 10 times bigger than you, and you got to fight with double swords. You got to come and contend and warfare with God. You cannot expect to have the same church service, the same examples, the same things happen in your life, and God's going to move and break through. It won't happen. You have to fight for it, church. You have to get down, dig deep, and give God all you have. Amen? We've become complacent. We've become apathetic. We've become pathetic in a lot of ways. And that is not where we are. That's not what we should be. And that's not where we are as a church. That's not where God is calling us. He's not calling us that way. This is not to scold you. This is to build it up, right? To say, oh my goodness, right? It's halftime. You're down by 10. What are you going to do? You change your tactic. You change your tactics. You see where they're winning, and you go after that, and you cut off. If you got to go around, you got to go back door, you got to do whatever you got to do to get to the enemy's camp and take back what's been stolen from you and to gain more, then do that, right? Yes, I used a March Madness example. Why? Because I love basketball. But you're down by 10. What are you going to do? You better change your tactic, or you're going to lose by 20. That's just how it works. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Who am I? I'm Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. I'm glad that you're here today, this morning. And I don't know about you, but this week off and on, I've been contending for today's service because I know it'll be a special one. Before we get into God's Word, this is Mission Sunday, and we believe in sending missionaries and people into the world. And we've had missionaries in our church for many, many years. The Helmets have been a blessing to us in so many ways, and all over the world. And they're about to go to the Philippines, correct? Is that this week? Thursday. They're leaving Thursday, and they're going to go. And the Philippines, yes, there's a lot of godly things, but there's a lot of demonic as well. There's a lot of battle. There's a lot of religious spirits that need to be broken by the power and by the blood of Jesus, and there needs to be the word taught correctly, and the word taught from God's word to break those bondages and to set people free and to heal them, and there needs to be salvations. And so what does God do? He says he's sending people, right? He's going to send, you know, where are you? And you can say, well, I'm chilling. First Open Bible, just hanging out. Or you can say, God, send me. I'm not saying you got to go to the Philippines or Iceland or you got to go to all these places, but you do need to go somewhere. You do need to go somewhere. If it's your family, if it's your workplace, if it's the back row, hallelujah. I'm just playing. You know, I haven't talked to the back row in a while, so I love you, back row. But it's to the grocery store. You know, it's Walmart where there's ministry in every aisle, right? It's everywhere. Hallelujah. It's everywhere. But we're going to pray for them. Helmus, will you please come up, John and Shirley? Will you? I just want us to send them out. They're going to be going here pretty soon. They'll be gone for 20 plus days. And I just want to lay hands on them and send them out. I know God's going to do awesome things. This is Mission Sunday, we got more missionaries leaving even this very week. And then the following week or two, they'll be leaving. So the month of April, I'm going to claim it right now, the month of April is the month of harvest.
Amen.
Okay? Amen. Amen. And here, next week's Palm Sunday, the following week is Easter. I remember. Put his hands up for palms. I remember last year. I remember you. You scoot back some. Stuck it. That's awesome. But this, I'm calling it right now. April, the month Amen. Of harvest.
Yes.
Come on. Right? Iceland, Philippines, and Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Right? Yeah. Come on. At least from this church body. Right, we're the body of Christ. Right, we're part of the church. Right, we can only do what we can do. We're only called to do what we're called to do. But those are things that we're going to believe in April that are going to take place. Church, will you extend your hands? We're going to pray for them.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
I'm going to come behind you here. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the service that's already happened. We thank you so much for all the things that have taken place. God, we feel your presence right now. But God, we ask for more. I know you're the God that has a cattle on a thousand hills. You, where you live, has streets of gold. The walls are made of every precious gem that we've seen and not seen or about to see someday. God, you are the provider. And I ask for provision right now as they go as well. Provide for them not only monetary values, but also provide them with their family. Provide them, oh God, I pray that you give them favor. Provide them favor with people. Favor with the ones that are not favorable. Favor with the ones that are broken and outcast. Favor against the demonic. Favor against the witchcraft, the people full of witchcraft, the people that are casting spells, the people that are caught up in stuff. Favor with them, God, to break through. I thank you for your sword, that it goes deeper than bone and marrow. It goes deeper than those things. And I pray that when they bring this sword and they preach the gospel and they prophesy, that things will fall off and things will happen and things will take place in the spiritual and also in the natural. I pray for the giftings to follow those who believe. I thank you for the gifts that you've given them. And I thank you for the prophetic gift that they have. I thank you for the words of knowledge and wisdom, but we pray for more. God, we want miracles, signs, and wonders. We want things to happen. I pray for great faith to happen. I pray that tumors fall off, and blind eyes see. People will walk for the first time. Arms will grow out, and things will happen, and they will curse cancer, and things will happen and take place in the kingdom. And God, we already know that as believers, that we know those things happen, but that's for the unbeliever, that people will come to the knowledge of Christ because of the great things that are going to take place in the Philippines. We thank you, and we rebuke religious demons and religious spirits right now. Break that right now in the name of Jesus. There'll be freedom and grace and mercy in the house. And there'll be justice as well. And there will be truth spoken. There is freedom in your truth, God. Put it upon their lips. Anoint them now. And I pray for a fire that's going to be. I pray for rivers of living water that will flow out of their, like their bellies and their mouths will flow out endlessly. Give them rest. Give them endurance. And give them strength beyond their years. We love you, God. We thank you for April, the month of harvest. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Love you guys.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
We love you so much.
You want to preach? I'm thirsty. You want to preach? No? Yeah. Okay, I'll preach. You know, maybe in just a moment. I want to flow with what we got right now. He's got a word for you later. John, he's got a word for you later. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, will you open your Bibles to Luke chapter 18? Hallelujah. This morning, we're going to be concluding our monthly series titled Creatures of Habit. I don't know about y'all, but I'm sweaty. Sweating for the Lord. Anybody else sweat in here? Raise your hand, but not too high, because I might see something. Hey. Anybody been blessed by this series this month?
Yes.
Awesome. 10, 12 people. Praise the Lord. I've been blessed by it. I've been challenged. Pastor Mark did a fantastic job. Thank you so much for your word. So good. So practical. So dead on. Right to the point of what the Bible's teaching, man. I love it. So good. Worry about your worship. No, that's all right. Just playing. Totally mess it up. Yeah, don't worry. Right? Worship. Amen. So much good stuff. Now, we're all creatures of habit. Amen? Each of us have a set of routines or patterns which can be helpful, but they could also get us stuck in ruts and be destructive. We must be careful because what we believe determines what we do, and what we do determines who we become. We must be careful. This series explores how we can trade bad habits for good ones, good habits that glorify God and help us to be the people God intends for us to be. Now, habits have a three-step process. You remember that? The first thing is what? Do you remember? A cue or a trigger. Amen. And then the second thing is what? A response, right? Something triggers you, you have a response, and then you get the outcome. So in order to change a bad habit, we must replace it with a better response. Amen?
Amen.
Things are going to trigger you for the rest of your life, but how you respond to it is up to you. Nobody can make you respond any which way. That is up to you. If you want to change the outcome, you change your response. And you change your response enough times, you create a new habit, and then every time that trigger happens, you have a new habit. All right. Can anybody relate to what I'm about to say? Children sometimes manage to accumulate every small, unnecessary, and worthless trinket known to mankind in their rooms. Clothing usually stays on the floor rather than making it to the laundry room or the laundry basket. It's like literally right next to it. And although it's against family policy, there often are empty chip bags, candy wrappers, and Capri Suns spread around the room as if they were trophies to be admired. I'm preaching. It's going to get better. So like any normal parent would do, you demand these tiny hoarders clean up their mess before you start charging them rent and start charging them rent for making a junkyard in your home. Okay? Now to the parent's surprise, after your beautifully crafted and expressed and justified threats, you return 15 minutes later to inspect, and the room is now spotless. Ooh, praise God. The floor is clean. Everything is now gone. You start to walk through the room, and you're actually speechless until you make your way to the closet door. As you begin to turn the handle, you notice a funky smell and some pressure built up right behind the door. As you hear the shifting of objects behind the barrier that's about to pummel you, your life slowly flashes in front of your eyes, and you embrace for impact. The closet door swings open, and everything is now crystal clear. The reason your room, their room, was so clean was because the closet had become a place to hide the mess. What outwardly was apparent was not, in fact, reality. It was all just a facade. You realize Jesus is truly their only hope. Your little hoarder needs delivered. Hallelujah. Thank you. Is that heaven? I don't know. I did not know that was coming. Hallelujah. Woo. You guys heard that too, right? Okay. Woo. You know what's funny, church? To look back in your life, you probably tried a tactic like this in some form or fashion when you grew up. You tried to conceal rather than reveal. We were not honest about what was really going on. Many of us have continued this habit into adulthood rather than confessing our shortcomings and confessing our failures and confessing the things that are going on in our life. We simply shove it behind the closet door and hope that it's never revealed. But you can't create new habits with old behaviors. And in order to be free from a bad habit, you must confess it. Honesty and vulnerability can develop into victory. I don't know about you, church, but I'm in need of God's forgiveness and His mercy each and every day. Every day. Every day. And my wife, wherever she's at, she said, "Hallelujah." Right? Angels are singing. But you know what's awesome? His mercies are new every morning. Amen. And His grace is sufficient. Now this series, we've explored how to trade bad habits for good ones. Good habits that glorify God and help us to be the people God intends for us to be. And one of the keys to being the person that God intends for you to be, church, it's confession. We all need to assess ourselves and be open and honest about what we really need and what's been really, truly going on in our life. Rather than concealing our mistakes and our struggles, we can surrender them privately to God, or we can surrender them publicly with someone we trust. Just a month ago, my wife and I were up here and we shared our life with you, our story. It wasn't to give us glory, it was to give God glory and to be honest and real about what God can truly do in your life if you confess to Him. Now this act can be awkward at first, but the habit of confession keeps us humble and it guards us from falling into hidden sin. Sin that will eventually destroy you. What we believe determines what we do, and what we do determines who we become. The habits that we choose and the mindsets we follow will determine the trajectory of our life and who we will become. Here's the question though, church. Are we becoming the person that Christ has died for? Now Jesus, He often had arguments and conflicts with the Pharisees in the Gospels. The Pharisees, who were they? They were the religious elite, right? And oftentimes they overlooked their own sins while quickly pointing out the sins of others. Church, it's real easy to ignore your faults by constantly pointing out the faults in others. And the more that you choose to do that, the harder it's going to be to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Jesus addresses this bad habit with the Pharisees multiple times. One of my favorites is when the woman was caught in adultery. And Jesus is teaching at the temple, and these Pharisees and these religious people, they all come in and they demand that Jesus does something. Do something about this. She's caught in adultery, and the law says, right? They don't look at themselves. They're looking at what they just caught somebody else doing. The law says you got to stone her. Now He's in front of all the people He's teaching. He's in front of these people. He's in front of this lady. And He says, "What do you say, teacher?" And Jesus, while they're talking, is writing in the sand, writing in the dirt. I'm like, what is He doing? Maybe He's drawing a picture. I like pictures, remember? He was writing something there, and then He kind of makes a line in the sand, and He basically says, "Okay, you, without sin in your life, cast the first stone." And they all stood there, one by one, the stone in their hand, and end up dropping and leaving. And then Jesus says to the lady, as He gets down and looks her in the eyes and says, "Where are your accusers?" Well, the lady's like, they're not here anymore. And they're not here to accuse me. And He says, "I don't either. Now go and sin no more." Amen. Oh, Pharisees. Now, the book of Luke offers another story, a parable. what the Bible calls a story. To help drive this point home, if you open your Bibles, if you haven't already, Luke 18, we're going to start in verse 9, and we're going to read a story. I'm going to stop at 12 here. It says this, "Then Jesus told this story to some of those..." Now listen, telling this story to some of those who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. And this is the story he tells. He says, "Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer, 'I thank you, God, that I'm not like the other people, the cheaters and the sinners and the adulterers, and I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income.'" Let's stop there. Now, this story Jesus tells highlights two individuals. One has a habit of concealing their sins, while the other has a habit of confessing theirs. The Pharisee in the story put himself up on a pedestal of perfection as he prayed. He looked down on others who were robbers and evildoers and adulterers. Now, the point that Jesus is making is not that those things aren't harmful and sinful ways of living, because they are. But Jesus is purposely highlighting the habit problem of this Pharisee. He's quick to divert any attention away from his faults by shining light on everyone else's. He thinks what God desires from him is the outward appearance of perfection. But this is what the Bible teaches. It's one of my favorite verses. 1 Samuel 16:7. "The Lord doesn't see the things the way you see them, church. People judge by the outward appearance. But the Lord, he looks at the heart." Bad intentions produce bad fruit. No matter what you do, or no matter what you don't do, God sees why you did it. Come on now. Right. Or why you didn't do it. The Pharisee that Jesus was speaking to needed to develop a new habit in his life. He needed to learn the habit of humility. He needs to learn how to confess his own mess so he can have a healthy and clean heart before God and before others. Confession requires humility. And humility offers health. Now, healthy followers of Jesus, you're going to stand up against evil. And you're also going to be quick to confess what is lurking within your messy closet. Jesus continues the parable, and he's telling them the next part of this story by juxtaposing the Pharisee in the temple with the tax collector who is also there to pray. Let's keep reading. In Luke 18, verses 13 and 14, it says this. "But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead," this is what he did, "he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, 'Oh God, be merciful to me. I am a sinner.'" Now Jesus, he says this, "I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Amen. This man, who has sin in his life, he stood at a distance. He did not even look up to heaven. And rather than bragging about his exploits in his prayer, he humbly asked God for his mercy, because he's fully aware that he is a sinner in need of a Savior. It was the man's humility that prompted him to confess his guilt before God in the temple. He confessed his mess. He opened up his closet so he could allow God to take one thing out at a time to clean it. Now, the moral of this parable, according to Jesus, is this: that those who exalt themselves will be humbled, perhaps painfully. And those who themselves humble themselves, perhaps painfully, will be exalted. Church, God's not calling the ones who are perfect Exhibit A, Exhibit B, Exhibit C. He's not calling upon the ones that are good at concealing. God is calling the ones that have failed. It's true. So true. He's calling the humble. He's calling the authentic. He's calling the real. The ones who are willing to confess their mess so they can have a clean heart. Now, confession is to acknowledge guilt before God. I'm guilty. Confession is bringing your messy closet to God and allowing Him to clean one thing out at a time. Church, you can't create new godly habits with a closet full of worldly junk. It won't happen. John 3:30 says this, "He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less." More of God in your life means less of your mess in your life. God says to you this morning, come and confess so you can live healthy and you can live clean. Now, it's no secret that having a habit of confession is an uncomfortable practice. It's actually sad that it's uncomfortable at church. I'll almost stay here for a moment. Isn't that sad? Like, just stop for a moment and think about that. This is a place that sometimes people feel ashamed of the things that they're ashamed of. That is completely the exact opposite of what God wants. It's exactly the opposite of what the church should be. Isn't that crazy to think about? There's got to be a reason why. It's no secret. Confession is an uncomfortable practice. However, church, it releases God's grace, it releases His mercy, it releases His forgiveness, and it releases His power in our lives. Proverbs 28:13 tells us this. People who conceal their sins will not prosper. People who conceal their sins will not prosper. But if they confess and turn from them, church, you're going to receive mercy. Our God is a merciful God. Mercy is unmerited favor. You didn't deserve it. But God gives you favor. He gives you rest. He gives you forgiveness. He gives you grace. He gives you His mercy. Now, church, there's a real danger in keeping our sins concealed. It's like a wound that's left unattended. It becomes infected and it festers. Sin left covered up does the exact same thing to your soul. Concealed sin can destroy a marriage. Concealed sin can ruin a person's character. Right? When they find out, maybe that's it. You constantly are feeling guilty that you're going to get found out. I'm going to address that in a second. It's good to get found out, but by who is what matters. Sin that's covered up or left or concealed, it can hinder a person's progress. You can't move forward with God. You can't move forward in life if you keep getting stuck in that mess. It can destroy a person's confidence. Concealed sin will separate you from God. And it will separate you from other people as well. Now, 1 John 1:9 says this. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness or all unrighteousness. John begins by saying, if we confess our sins. So many people want to be free, but you won't even get into the water. So many people want to be clean, but you won't even get into the water. if we confess our sins. See, the word confess here is the present tense, which means that it's something that must be continually and it must be currently that we're doing. We should do this daily. We should do this decisively, and we should do this deliberately. Now, some people teach we don't need to ask for forgiveness anymore because we've already been forgiven. Now, that's not a complete doctrine found in God's Word. People who teach this deception misunderstand the difference between a judicial pardon from a judge and a parental forgiveness from a father. When a person becomes a Christian, he does not become perfect. He becomes forgiven. Eternal damnation because of sin's curse has been paid for on the cross. We're going to celebrate it in 2 weeks. We have been pardoned from the judgment of hell because Christ has paid our ransom. But because of our sinful nature, we still sin. When we sin, we must confess that sin so that way that God can forgive it. Now, church, you can live and choose to live as a slave of righteousness, or you can choose to keep living as a slave to sin. That's up to you. Now, confession is more than just admitting sin. Josh, you were busy this week. Well done. You can admit sin without confessing sin. You can look at sin without even looking at it from God's vantage point. Right? Here's the classic. Well, everybody sins, or I didn't sin as bad as they did, or I didn't sin as bad as I used to sin. Your vantage point is everybody else. It's not God. You're not sinning against them. Your sin has come against God that is driving a division between you and them, or between you and God. When we genuinely confess sin, you've been convicted of that sin. You hate it. You're broken over it. You want to turn from it. You want what the Bible teaches. You want repentance of your sin. I want to repent from my sins. You see, real confession does not try to escape the consequences of sin. Real confession has you come to God so he can erase the guilt and the control of it. Confession helps you see yourselves from God's eyes. Sin will always separate you from God's presence. It'll separate you from his promises. It'll separate you from his provision. You couldn't get into worship today because you're full of sin, unconfessed sin, sin that you know that's hiding in that closet. You don't want nobody to know it, but somebody already does. God wants you to confess your sin so you can be free, so you can receive God's mercy. Now, real confession understands we have been delivered from sin. And God's mercy and his continual forgiveness gives you the power to possess a new life without that sin. But you got to open up the closet, church. You got to give God that mess first. Okay, if you want to deal with sin properly, you can write down these two things. They're very simple. If you want to deal with sin properly, you must do these two things. Number one, you got to do this. If you're going to deal with sin, you must call it what it is. If it's pride, call it pride. If it's lust, call it lust. If it's greed, call it greed. Call it what it is. Number two, this is the second. Confess it when it occurs. See, we often sin in retail, but we confess in wholesale. Many of us wait until we go to bed at night and we say something like this, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Forgive me of all the things I've done. Here's a better way, church, to do it. Confess your sins specifically and confess your sins immediately. As soon as you recognize that's a sin, right there. Why? So you can allow God's mercy to enter into your life at that very moment. You If you change a response, then you change an outcome. And if you change a response enough times, you develop a new habit. This is a way to develop the habit of confession in your life. Now, my wife said this Wednesday night, and I love it, quote, "If you can do it for a day, you can do it for a week. If you can do it for a week, you can do it for a month. And if you can do it for a month, you can do it for a year. And if you can do it for a year, you can do it for a lifetime." End quote. Church, look at me real quick. Don't make excuses. Make confessions. Now, Corrie Ten Boom once wrote this, quote, "The blood of Jesus never cleansed an excuse." End quote. Woo-hoo! Do a little dance. I mean, that is good. I'll set you free. I'll set you free. Come on now. That's a Holy Ghost dance. Well, you wait till Pentecost. Say, hey. Right? Busting out. Oh, I even got my white hanky and everything. I'm ready. I know it ain't Pentecost, but we Pentecostals. So every week's Pentecost. Hallelujah. I went to this church back in college, and I loved it, man. I was one of the lightest-skinned people in there, and I loved it, man. I'm telling you, I would go there every Sunday. I loved it. 2 years I went there, and I remember, I had never seen so many hankies. And I remember the guy in the front row, he'd always get up, man. The guy was 70, 80 years old. He gets up gingerly, goes, "That's right, Pastor. That's right." And then he looks at everybody and points at him. "That's right. That's right." And I'm like, "Ooh, I'm home. I love this place." Right? People in the back waving hankies. I mean, they're just getting all church surrender. Ooh. Surrender. Surrender. Here I am, God. Right? You got a tissue or something? Put it up. Surrender. I'm tired of making excuses. I won't make confessions. I surrender. True confession is a risky business and it's awkward. And it can be scary and it can be hard. But the only way to be authentically you is by being real with yourself and by being real with everyone else. Church, confession is the first step in denying the false person that you try to be. For many of you, confession is the key to unlock the prison that you have been living in. Come on now. Be real with God. Confess your sins. Be authentic and watch the freedom enter your life like you've never felt before. You will be transformed by the power of the gospel. Habits, methods, routines, and mindsets will start changing in your life. You'll start to experience what the Bible says, that all things have become new. All things, the old things have passed away. You become a new creation. The new things have come. Come on now. Church, does anybody in the house today have guilt in their life because of concealed sin? Here's the best way to keep guilt out of your life. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes.
Here's the best way to do it. Best way to keep guilt out of your life is when you sin, get to God with that sin before the devil does. Hey, we laugh, but that'll set you free.
Amen.
Come on now. Come on now. Someone's going to get set free today. I'm telling you right now. I've been contending for this. Mm. The best way to keep guilt out of your life is when you sin. Get to God with that sin before the devil does. Revelation 12:10 says this, the devil, he's the accuser of the brethren. You see, if you don't confess your sin immediately, the devil will try to bring that sin before God and he will accuse you. The devil wants you to live with the guilt of that sin. But if you go to God with your mess, your heavenly Father will cleanse you. He'll cleanse you from that sin and all unrighteousness and take away the guilt. You go away from his presence, and guess what? If you give it to him, you can go and sin no more. Now, this is what you can say. I wrote down a little prayer maybe to help you out. Right. Father, I've sinned against you. But I thank you for the blood of Jesus on the cross that takes away the guilt and the power of my sin. But I need help to not sin against you anymore in this area of my life. I confess to you now. I ask for your forgiveness. I repent. I want to go away from this time of prayer with you, and I want to go and sin no more. Amen. There's so much to know about a person that you can't tell by looking at them, especially on Sunday. True. I ain't call nobody Pharisees, but we might have hung out with one before. Hey. Religious spirit, you will not be at First Open Bible. Amen. It's still hot in here. That's that fire, baby. It's that fire. That fire. There's so much to know about a person that you can't tell by looking at them. See, everyone in church today is filled with stories. There's stuff that's stuffed in their closet. But oftentimes we feel like we can't talk to anybody about what's really going on or what we're really going through or all the things that are hidden in our closet because we think the church is full of judgmental Pharisees and not humble tax collectors. We think everyone in church looks perfect and has it all figured out. We think they're going to point out and expose all of our faults if we confess. And they won't even look at their own mess. We got to break the stigma, church. We got to break it. You know why? Here's why. Because the world needs a healthy church. The world needs an honest church. The world needs an authentic church. The world needs a powerful church. The world needs a church that doesn't conceal. The world needs a church that confesses its mess so it can go into the world with the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ who takes away the sins of the world. That's what we need. Come on now. So many... y'all ready? So many people, especially Pentecostals, you push your authority in Christ when your closet is full of junk. You got a power behind that because you got a closet full of junk. You got to get set free so you can have the power. See, the blood's going to flow through you. The Spirit of God's going to flow through you, but it can't flow through you if you're full of all this junk. The Bible says that you can't have both sweet and perfect and pure water and bitter water. You can't have both of them. They can't flow from the same thing. So something's got to give. Either you are going out and you're proclaiming and you're doing things in the name of Jesus, but it's full of the world and full maybe even evil and even the devil. But you need to be set free today so you can be preaching the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of y'all bound, but our God's a deliverer. Jesus, he took away the chains. He's a chain breaker. Y'all need to be delivered today, right? I got to be delivered. I'm first in line. I ain't perfect. God knows my mess. God knows my mindsets. I got to give it to him. You got to submit. Surrender. Give God your mess. Amen? The world needs a healthy church. See, right, they can go to that kind of judgmental church down the street, but you ain't coming to First Open Bible. Not that we're just going to be bumbling messes, because we are. We are bought by a price. We are more than conquerors. We are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. We are the apple of his eye. We are these things. We are grafted in, right? We are children of the Most High. Where we go, angel armies go. What we do, God is doing through us. We are people filled with the Spirit, if you've been filled with the Spirit. And we are baptized in the Spirit. We are full. We want to go and do the things that God calls us to do. But we also want to make it a place, God's home, a house of prayer, that people can come in and feel like, I ain't going to get judged. I'm going to get set free instead. Like, this is a place of God's mercy. This is a place of God's mercy, not just his judgment, right? That can be down the road, but we need people to come in and say, hey, I've been there. I've done that. I've been here. I've been there, but let me tell you about this man that changed my life. His name's Jesus, and I know you've been there. I know you're stuck there, and I know somebody that's walked through that, and I want to be here for you. I want to pray for you, and guess what? When you're struggling, I'm going to be there, right? I'm going to keep leading you to the cross, to the cross, to the cross. I'm going to take you to the cross. I know it's been 100 times, but you got to get free. Go to the cross. You got to keep coming to Jesus. You got to keep coming to Jesus. He will set you free. Come on now. He's going to set you free. You believe the lies. You've believed the lies. You've hidden in the lies. Ooh, but his light is coming. His light is coming. His cleansing is coming. His freedom is coming. But you have to open up your closet. Expose your mess and let your daddy say, okay, that's why it appears clean, but let me actually make you truly clean. Come on now. I'm talking to the Sunday crowd. Woo! We all know this too much. I love this rap song. It says, you know, it's talking about like some rap songs have awesome lyrics. Anyway, but because they can break these big things down into these sentences, and I've always loved rap my entire life. And so there's this good Christian rap song, and it talks about coming in and you're dressing up all your chains that are underneath. I love that. It's like, woo! Now, I'm not saying get naked. Back row, okay? I ain't saying that. But I am saying exposed. Be exposed to God. Be open to him. Ooh, here's my heart. Here's my heart. Here's my mind. Here's my closet. Here's my mess. I'm so ashamed. I'm so ashamed. I'm so ashamed. He says, you don't have to be. You don't have to be. You don't have to be. I'm so ashamed. I'm hiding. I'm hiding. I'm hurting. I'm broken. You don't have to be. Those things that happened in your past, those things that did to you, that now you continue in your own life, the things that you keep making a habit in and out of, and the bad choices that you're making, you don't have to do that anymore. The blood of Jesus was enough. He can cover you. All those sins are covered. You can be washed with his word if you expose those things to God. His mercy is there. His mercy is enough. You do not have to live like that. He wants you to he just wants you to be free, church. He does. He wants you to be free, but you can't be free by being fake. Come on now. Come on. There's only one way to deal with sin, and that's to confess it. You must bring it to the feet of Jesus. Come to the altar and be altered. Expose the darkness to the light. Some of y'all like that. I said that before, but I brought it back. Come to the altar. And guess what? I'm really bad at English. You change an A and an E, right? Okay. Come to the altar to be altered. Expose darkness to the light. Receive our Father's forgiveness through your confession. There's one type of sin that can defeat you as a Christian. You ready? It's the concealed sin. 1 John 1:9 says, though, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful And he is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness or all unrighteousness.
Amen.
He's faithful. In order for a confession to become a habit or a routine in your life, you must be intentional with your truth-telling. Intentional in being humble before God. There's no better time than now, and there is no better place than in God's house. I don't want to lose you, but worship team, will you please come? Church, salvation starts with what? Come on, say it like you know it. Hey, I set you up. I said that word like 10, 20, 30 times today. Amen. You're right. Salvation starts with confession. Breaking bad habits and bad mindsets also starts with confession. Concealing or hiding only brings with it pain and shame and bondage. Be free. Be real. Confess your mess and go and sin no more. Church, you got to make a habit of confession. All right, I want to give you one last thought. You ready? Before we apply this into our life. I love it. I don't want to just hear a sermon and walk away unchanged. I want to hear a sermon, apply it, and be changed forever.
Amen.
Amen? I want to give you one last thought. Are you ready?
Yes.
One last thought about breaking your silence about this matter of confession. Real confession, true confession, is willing to go any distance, pay any price, count any cost to be right with God.
Amen.
And that does mean your pride. You want me to say that again?
Yes.
I want to give you one last thought about breaking your silence about this matter of confession. Real confession, true confession, is willing to go any distance, pay any price, count any cost to be right with God. Now, church, once you confess your sin, then you need to walk in God's forgiveness of that sin. See, that's where we sometimes trip up. I've confessed it, I've been healed of it, and I go right back to it. It's like a dog returning to his vomit. I don't know about you, I'd rather have a steak than my own throw up. Actually, I'd rather have ribs and shrimp. Favorite. Amen. I know what's on the banqueting table, huh? No. Hey. Man. Sounds good right now. Come on back. Come on back, Pastor. Okay. Come. Here I am. Once you confess the sin, you need to walk away or walk in God's forgiveness of that sin. You can and you should go and sin no more. It's possible. It's probable. It's what we're supposed to do. But when you fall, allow God's grace to pick you up. But church, don't cheapen it by confessing but not believing that you have been forgiven. There's power in the blood.
Amen.
His blood was enough.
Amen.
You can truly confess and go and sin no more. But you have to repent. Turn from your wicked ways. And love God more than hiding from him. Do you love God more than you do love hiding from him? Come on. He's a father that knew that you ran. And he has the fattened calf ready. He's got a ring ready. He's got a robe ready. He's ready for that party. And he's looking to that hill. And he's waiting for you to come back. You've been running and you've been hiding. But God says, come back to me. There's freedom in the house. There's freedom in the Father's house. There's freedom in the blood. But you got to come and say, Daddy, I've done this in the world, I've done that in the world, and I've chosen this, and I've chosen that, and I've squandered everything that you've given me. All my inheritance, I've squandered all the things that you've blessed me with, given it all away. And he says, that's the past. You're here with me, you're in my presence. Let's celebrate. I forgive you. you're released. You're released from it. You're healed from it. If you give it to me and you walk away and believe that my grace and my mercy and my forgiveness is enough, you will be set free. You can truly sin no more. But you have to repent from your wicked ways. What is repent? You come, confess, and you turn from it. You come, confess, and you turn from it. You don't come, confess, feel better, that you throw up on God's feet, and then you get up and you eat some more. Woo! Somewhere else to eat, church. Somewhere else to eat. The world's food is rotten. It'll make you throw up. It'll make you sick. It'll make you ill. It'll kill you. But the food at his banqueting table gives life. It brings freedom. It's nourishing. The water. If you're thirsty, you come, you drink. The bread of life will fill you over and over and over. Every time you're hungry, over and over again. You're partaking in worldly pleasures when God has more in store for you. Church, you got to confess that mess. Spirit of living God, move in this house. Let it start with me, God. Sorry for the things that I've done. Forgive me, God, of the things that I've made it. Thank you, God. How many times have you forgiven me? Break the bondage in my life. I want to live free. So many people in here that want to live free, God. Break the curse that people believe in their life. Church, got two things left. Are you going to have the habit to conceal? Or will you have the habit to reveal? Let me read a scripture. Will you stand, please? I want to read a scripture over you. Hallelujah. If you can lower the lights, please. I'm going to read scripture and then I'm going to say something and then we're going to allow God to move. If you got to be somewhere, that stinks. Maybe you need to not. Here's an opportunity. This can literally, I'm not just saying this because I'm the pastor, this can literally change your life and eternity forever. Literally. But you have to expose your closet of mess and you have to give it to God so you can be healed and you can be clean and you can come to him with clean hearts and clean hands and be in his presence. Acts 3:19-20 says this. Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. There's prayer teams that are here today. Prayer teams, if you wouldn't mind just lining up on the sides on the front here so we can leave the altar open. If you are part of those prayer teams, we got two people at a time. Here's an opportunity. We're just going to get into worship and we're going to be released when we feel like we're released. I'm going to leave that to you, brother, to feel the presence of God. When it's release time, it's release time. We're going to keep pressing in until then. But these people are right here on both sides, on the sides here, to pray for you. If you guys don't mind just going to the side, we're going to open up the altar right over there. Thank you. If you guys don't mind just go over the side there. I want the altars to be open. Two places you can come and confess your mess. Number one is with God and God alone. The altar's open. The fire is here. He's going to cleanse you. He's going to burn away the chaff. Another way to do it is you come and you bring it to other people. And they're right there and right over there. And they come to you and they pray for you. Feel free, you can go over there. Just get on that side of the wall or either way. Yeah, right over there. Thank you. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to ask God just to move like He wants to move. I like to be real and authentic. Right? Don't you like being like that? Thank you. There's freedom in that. There's freedom in the house. Be real and authentic with God. He already knows. He already knows. He already knows. Church, He already knows. Well, then why does He want to hear it? Because you need to tell Him that. It's for your good. It's for your healing. It's for your freedom. I'm going to pray in just a moment, and I'm going to invite you. The altar is open. Prayer warriors are ready. If you feel comfortable coming up here or over there, wherever you're at, make it a prayer altar. It's time with you and the Father. Confess your mess and be clean. Amen. Father, we love You and we trust You. Open up our hearts. Open up our hearts, God. Open up our hearts. Church, just put your hands out as if you're receiving something. Here we are. We present to You our life, our minds, our hearts, our insecurities. We present all the great things and the blessings. We thank You for all the gifts that You've given. We thank You for all the awesome stuff, the provision. But God, we also give You our mess. There's not a soul in here perfect. So we come to You today and we lay it at Your feet. And we confess honestly. We want to call it what it is. But we need Your help to set us free from it so we can go and sin no more. God, we trust You. Spirit of the living God, move, 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 move. Right now, fire of God, come. Shikarambo, come. Fire of God, come, 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 come. Come now. Ooh, flow from the pulpit down to the altars and to the people. Yeah, come, 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 come. Come now, God. Come now in a supernatural way. Thank You, Jesus. Ooh, no, 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 no. Worthy is the Lamb. 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 God, we come to You today and confess our mess. He, if the Son set you free, He is free indeed. We trust You, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come, church. Come, come, come. Hallelujah.